Every time I think about water, setting water on the pulpit up here, think about when old Farrell Griswold was with us. And he had Bill Downing. I don't know how many of you folks know W.R. Downing from California. You familiar with him, Brother Brady? Bill Downing. Great preacher, great expositor. Brilliant fella. He had Bill over to Birmingham and was trying to arrange to put him around some of these other little Sovereign Grace churches and put him down to Silicog that Henry Breed loves. And asked him if I'd like to have him over here tonight. I said, we'd like to have him. So he came over on Friday night. He'd been with Farrell all week. And Bill is a talker. I mean, he is a discusser. He likes to just sit and talk. And boy, you talking about getting into the scriptures and talking about doctrine. I mean, he's just a brain. He'll just talk. Well, he came in talking to the house up there. I had a friend of mine in Augusta. He knew him real well. And hadn't seen him in some time. They sit down at the table up there, old brother Jim Oakes. And they talked. It must have been 2 hours before service, and they talked. And nonstop. And Farrell wasn't saying a whole lot. We got down here, and Farrell sat down about where Robert and Nell is there, him and Joyce. Joyce Griswold, his wife. They sat down, man. We was getting service ready and trying to arrange things. I went and got a glass of water, and I brought it up and set it down. He was sitting there rubbing his head, Farrell was. He happened to look up by the time he said, don't set that glass of water up there. He said, you give him a drink of water and he'll be here all night. I know we'll forget. All right, look at Psalm 105. In the first 7 verses. This psalm was inspired to David. He penned it. And the Lord inspired this psalm when he was bringing up the ark, when Israel brought up the ark. This is the second time. First time was a failure. And, of course, God judged the method that they were bringing the ark up. They killed that priest, Uzzah. And David, when he saw the display of the Lord, put that ark in a fellow named Obed-Edom's house. And it stayed there about 2 years. And so when the Lord gave him liberty to move it and bring it up, he found out God had been blessing Obed-Edom down there because that ark was in the house, you know. And he wanted to bring that thing on up to Jerusalem. And so he does it the right way this time. They take the priest down there and they put it on his shoulders. And they bear that ark. And I used that one time as a message to preach the gospel. That's the method of preaching the gospel. The gospel is a burden. And we're not to use these new ways and methods in order to try to get the gospel out. You know, men, they contrive new things, and just like David did, brought that up on that ox cart. It wasn't supposed to be done that way, and it's supposed to be carried on the shoulders. And so we have a burden carrying this gospel. And so he went down to bring up that ark, and this psalm was inspired to him. And the first 7 verses, which we'll be dealing with, now you can read this. What I've just referred to in history, in the First Chronicles chapter 16, if you'd like to jot that reference down. It says distinctively that that's when David penned this psalm. And so the first 7 verses, the people are called on, they're called upon to praise and to extol Jehovah God. And that's what it deals with. It sort of gives us a text for what seems to be a sermon in the rest of the psalm. It has a text here, and then the rest of the psalm seems to be a sermon.
So we're going to deal with that tonight. The second section, if you divide this sum, and I'm going by Mr. Spurgeon's division in his Treasury of David, it's divided 8 through 15, verses 8 through 15. You have the early years of that tiny nation of Israel described. And it was a tiny nation, very, very small nation, made up of just a few souls. That's the household of Jacob. But that was God's nation. And then, of course, you have they're descending into Egypt in verses number 16 through 23. And they're sojourning there for some time. And I think the total down there, I think they were down there about 283 years. And so we have that in the verse 16 through or verse 8 through 15. Then you have verse 16 through 23, I'm sorry. And then verse 24 through 38, you have they're coming up out of Egypt. They're coming forth and coming back into the land of promise with the Lord's outstretched hand before them. God brought them out with an outstretched hand. He delivered them. It's obvious that God delivered them out of Egypt, isn't it? And they weren't delivered by their own strength and own power. It was a work of the Lord. And it's a picture of salvation, how you and I are delivered. And then you have in verse 39 through 45, of course, the journey through the wilderness and eventually their entrance into the promised land again. But look at verse 1 through 7. This is a wonderful psalm here. It starts right out. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Now, why? Why are we called on to give thanks unto the Lord? I don't think there's enough thanksgiving given to the Lord today. I don't like to make a show of things. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like the Pharisee. You know, just pray to be seen, pray to be heard. But it's hard for me not to thank the Lord for His goodness. But wherever I am, you know, somewhere, if I eat my meal in a restaurant, you know, I just don't bow my head for just a little bit and acknowledge that I'm eating that meal because God provided that for me. And I don't think it's nothing fair to say about it. Some folks have a little hang-up there on this thing. They just don't think you ought to pray in public at all. You know, this thing is pharisaical. Well, it could be, because we know the Pharisees did, didn't they? I mean, they stood on the street corners and they read their prayers. And they recited those things just to be heard of men, to be seen of men. But we don't do that. I don't. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm not going to make a show of it, but I am going to be thankful. I'm going to express my gratitude to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord, He's the one that attributes to us or gives to us all our benefits. I mean, everything that we receive is from the Lord. Even the lost, those that are unconverted, whatever you receive, whatever you have, whatever that sustains you this day has been given to you by God. That's a fact, isn't it? That's true. That's so. And so, why not give thanks unto the Lord? Why not? I could think of a 100,000 reasons, I guess, to be thankful. And I can't think of anything why I should not be thankful to the Lord. I had a note from Brother Henry, it was from Doris to Patsy and us this week, Doris Mahan. And he was talking about praying for the situation up there in Ashland. Henry's resigned. He's resigned, but he's not going to leave until there's a pastor put in place up there. And he's seeking the Lord's direction. He wants somebody to come in there and take over. But he doesn't just want anybody. I can sympathize with that. That's on my mind a lot. The older I get, the longer I stay here, that presses on my mind. Who's going to take over this thing when I leave? And I hadn't made, you know, I hadn't done all that good here, but made a pretty good try at it. And we've established some things. The main thing we've established is the truth. And consistently, you know, honoring the Lord by expounding His Word. And I don't see all that go down the tube. Had some pretty good folks here, and I want them taken care of, you know, when it comes time for me to leave here. And I think about that. I can understand him thinking about it and feeling the way he does. He wants somebody that he feels it'll take over and do the job in that church up there. We're talking about, Doris talking about some of the rewards of the pastorate. And one of their charter members passed away week before last up there. Maybe it was last week. And they watched him die. And said he died with grace. Died with grace. And she said that's a reward to the pastor. You've taught people well enough to when it's time to check out of this old world, they're ready to leave and they die with grace. You know what I'm talking about? I hope the Lord give me grace, and I believe He will when it comes time. I told Spurgeon one time. He said, "I need you to pray for me, Brother Spurgeon." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I'm afraid that I don't have dying grace." I said, "It bothers me." Brother Spurgeon said, "Are you dying?" He said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, when the time comes, the Lord will give you dying grace." He does His people that way. And but I want to give God the praise and the honor and glory for everything. And that's what David's calling on the people to do here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Because He is the author of ALL, all our benefits. You don't have nothing that the Lord didn't give you. Absolutely nothing. And we can't boast within ourselves over this, that, and the other. If we have any sense at all, we know and we acknowledge and we attribute all things to the Lord. Because He's the giver. He's the sustainer. He's the keeper of His people. And therefore, let Him have all the gratitude, all the praise. Give Him all the thanks. In all things, give thanks unto the Lord. He's gracious, He's kind, He's merciful. And every day that we live, every moment we live, it's a mercy of God. And if we live one moment out of hell, it's an eternal mercy. And yet God has saved us, He's redeemed us, most of us, and He's delivered us. And we have so much to be grateful for. So much to thank the Lord for. Praise Him. Praise Him for His past mercies. You think of anything to praise God for today? Think about what He's done for you in the past. He's blessed us. He's blessed us abundantly, exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think. And so we praise Him for His past mercies, but we praise Him also for His present mercies. So praise Him for them. And we praise Him also for future mercies because we live another moment. If we live another hour, another day, we're going to be blessed and endowed with great mercies, great kindnesses from the Lord. David, in one of the Psalms, he started out the day contemplating the loving kindness of the Lord. That's what he started out thinking about, God's loving kindness. And when he got to the end of the day, he looked back and blessed the Lord for His faithfulness. Think about that. That sort of stays in my mind, Brother Tommy. I think about, when I get up, I think about the loving kindness of God that I wake up to. It's fresh, it's new, it's renewed to us every day. We have renewed mercies. We have the renewed kindness of the Lord. And then I go through the day, and I get to the end of the day, and when I get ready to press that pillow for the night, I think about the faithfulness of God. How faithful the Lord has been to me through the day. I'm alive.
well, I'm happy, I'm full of blessings, and I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us.
Yes, we got so much to be thankful for. Then he says this. He says, call upon his name.
Call upon his name. And literally, he's saying, call him by name. That's what he says here, what the Hebrew says. Call him by name. Or call him by his name. In other words, own him. Own him. He's my God. He's my Lord. By covenant, he's mine. Therefore, he's my strength, and he's my rock, and he's my refuge, and he's my righteousness. And he's my wisdom, and he's my sanctification, he's my redemption. He's my root. Oh, he's everything. He's my goodness. He's all these things and much more.
Much more. Call him and own him by name.
Proclaim his titles. That's what he's talking about here. Proclaim his titles. He's known by many names, isn't he? Known by many names. So fill the world. What he's saying here is own him by name. Call him by his name. And declare this to the world around you.
In other words, we're to fill the world with the glory of his renown. Tell the people who he is. You believe that? Tell the people who he is. Don't be ashamed of your God. Have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Tell the people who he is. Look at Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout, he says, unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth.
That's one of his titles. He's king. Tell the people he's king.
He shall subdue the people under us. And the nations under our feet.
He's going to win this thing. He's going to triumph. It's already settled. It's predetermined. The church is going out with a shout. Going up with triumph. Not going out of here some secret way. It's going to be a great exposure.
He shall choose our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up, he says again, with a shout. The Lord, with the sound of a trumpet. Look at this. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Oh, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises, look at this, with understanding.
You know, if you're going to sing, you ought to understand what you're singing about. That's why I just demand that you know, we keep our music and our singing in line with what we preach and what we believe with this Bible. I don't know how you feel about that, but if it's not doctrinally sound, pardon my grammar, it ain't going to be sung. If it's not compatible with what Preacher Worthen preaches, it's just not going to be sung. I'm not going to have it. I don't mean to make folks mad, but that's the way I feel about things. I mean, I don't deliberately try to upset folks, but I'm right up front.
So he says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Now here's, I think here's the understanding he's talking about. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. What's our song? Our song is God reigneth. That's not only our song, that's our message. Look over here in Isaiah chapter 52. In verse number 7, Zion's song is God reigneth. And her message is God reigneth. Isaiah 52 and verse number 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. Here's the message that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. David said in another place, our God is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Our God rules. He rules. He reigns. What is it to proclaim? What is it to proclaim God's sovereignty? What is that message? Well, it's simple. It's very simple. It's just simply to say God is God. That's all we're saying. God is God. Really, there's no use using that adjective, sovereign God. If he's God, he's sovereign. Sovereign grace. If it's God's grace, it must be. And that's our message. God reigneth. God rules. He rules especially in the lives of his people. But he doesn't stop there. He rules over the nations. He reigns. You know, this will be our final shouting or shout of victory. The church, I'm talking about. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Verse 5 and 6. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. They respond to it. These are his people. A multitude without number. And it says, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's our message. That's our song. That's our ministry, isn't it? Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. You're talking about his name. Not talking about calling him by his name. Here's his name. And this expresses a whole lot right here. Jeremiah 23. And verse number 6. You there? I'm coming. 23, verse number 6. In his days. Who's talking about that? Well, he said back in verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. You know who that is, don't you? A righteous branch, he says, and a king, there it is again, shall reign. Folks, they read the Bible with colored glasses, don't they? Preconceived ideas. A world of folks around it, in so-called fundamental Christianity, do not believe this. They don't think that Jesus has been crowned yet. Here's a song right here that never be sung in this church. They sing it, "You can't crown Jesus till I get there." Well, bless your soul.
They do, don't they? I mean, one time, Brother Tommy wasn't. That's a very popular song among the so-called fundamental Baptist churches. Folks just shout and cry and holler hallelujah. And they're singing a lie. Ignorance, that's right, Brett. Ignorance, singing a lie. You think God blessing that? Huh? No, sir. No, the only thing God blesses is truth. Whether you preach it or whether you sing it.
And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth.
That's King Jesus he's talking about there. And King Jesus is ruling. King Jesus is reigning. King Jesus is prospering. You may, where? Well, he's prospering. He's doing everything that he determined to do. Everything that he purposed to do, he's doing it. He's accomplishing it. And he'll accomplish all his pleasure, all his will.
And this says, in his days, in the days of King Jesus, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called in Hebrew is Jehovah Tiskanu. Jehovah Tiskanu.
The Lord our righteousness. The Lord, that's his name, the Lord. And I tell you, that tells you a whole lot, doesn't it? That tells you, if you got any righteousness at all that is acceptable by the Holy God, it must be him. Jehovah, our righteousness. That's what I'm depending on. That's what I'm hoping in. That's what's going to get me there. If you get there, that's what will get you there. And that's his name. And he listen, he delights for this to be attributed to him. He does. It pleases the Lord that this very doctrine be attributed unto him. That we're righteous in him alone. That we are accepted in his righteousness alone. That we're justified by his righteousness alone. This is what pleases him. And this is what we're to tell folks. That's our message. That's what we're to tell them. Look again at the psalm over here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon him, or upon his name, or call him by his name. Make known his deeds among the people. When he says there, make known his deeds among the people, it could have been make known his deeds among the nations. That's what the word people here represents. It's not just the people of God, but you're talking about the whole world. You're talking about the nations of people. Matter of fact, it could have been put like this, make known his deeds among the heathen. That's what missionary work's all about. That's what evangelism is all about. That's the whole mission of the church, is to get out here in this world and make known his deeds among the people. Talk about him. Tell about him. Talk about his great accomplishments. Now, that's foreign to modern religion, isn't it? They like to talk about their accomplishments. You know, building programs and edifices that they've erected and all this stuff that they brought in, and they talk about this, and they get together in their associations and they talk about this and that and the other. It has nothing to do whatsoever with them. Their programs, their plans, the methods that are working for them, the gimmicks that they're using and seem to be productive. Motorcycle jumping. That right? Gary's telling us this morning that
they're out to the motorcycle jump. What were they jumping?
Huh?
Somebody going to jump 10 of their buses? Maybe we all went over there. Maybe we all went over and watched that fool. We missed it, folks. Oh, me. Huh. 10 buses. That's amazing. I didn't hear that part of it. But what's that got to do with the gospel? What's that got to do with what David's talking about right here? I mean, if they accomplish that, what will they do? Will they brag on Christ? Will they brag on God? No, they'll be talking about that motorcycle fella. See what I'm talking about? Listen, folks, if I'm not telling you the truth, this is the biggest lie that you've ever sinned under. If what I'm telling you is not the truth, not the gospel truth, not God's truth, listen, if it's not, you better get out of here and go up there and get joined up with that shindig, you know. Get involved with the circus. You got just as much, listen, if this is not the truth, you got just as much hope up there watching somebody jump buses as you have sitting down here listening to me. Don't you think so?
Make known his deeds among the people. Somebody said, but they don't want to hear it. David didn't suggest that, did he? He didn't ask what, well, if they don't hear it, don't tell them. He didn't say that. He said, just tell them anyway. In other words, the more talk about it seems to be what he's saying here. Just to express it. And talk about his great deeds. And then he says this. He says, sing, verse 2, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Sing unto him, he said. You know, if we sing of him and sing unto him,
our lyrics
will
far differ from this contemporary, quote, gospel stuff they call gospel singing today, won't it?
You know, I thought about this. I
tell you, I believe this to be so. I bet you there's not another church, Baptist, alike, whatever, in this county, in Douglas County, that would tolerate this Gadsby hymnal that we sing out of. Try it out. Just take it with you sometime. Talk to somebody, maybe that you know that's in this other stuff. And just let them see. Let them look at it and see, what do you think about these hymns here? You know what Mark Webb writes, what he composes, what he sings.
He sings the doctrine. He sings the gospel. He sings to the glory of God. His songs are written from Scripture, you know, from things that the doctrine that we're impressed with, we sympathize with. And several years ago, Holmes Moore's brother, John Moore, used to be the head knocker in this Word Music Corporation. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's religious music. They published religious music,
and one of the top religious music publishers in the country. And John was at the top of that thing. And of course, now they're publishing. They publish and some good hymn books. Some of these hymnals that we see in some of the Sovereign Grace churches come down to Nashville, Tennessee. But anyway, Holmes took a tape when Mark made his first tape. Went to a little old studio and cut that tape. And we all rejoiced in it, enjoyed it. I guess it's been 20 years ago or longer. He took it to John and said, See what you do with this right here. Listen to it. See what you think about it. Well, he listened to it and he brought it back. He said, Holmes said, it won't sell. It won't sell. He said, no use us publishing it because we're in business to sell music. It won't sell. Why? Because it was doctrinally straight. It was correct. And folks don't want to hear that which is correct. Isn't that so? They just don't want to hear it, whether it's preaching, whether it's music. They don't want to hear it. And I say to you that they just not, I don't know if the church would tolerate the Gadsby hymnal because it's correct. I mean, we just sing what we believe when we sing from the Gadsby, don't we? Love it. I love it. Oh, I love it. I just love to sing the Gadsby hymns. Rejoice in them. Some of them may be hard to sing, but I love to sing them because they're right. And they glorify God. And they honor the Lord. And they magnify the Lord. They talk about His deeds. And I love them. So sing unto the Lord. Talk of all His wondrous works. Talk about it. Thought about Malachi 17. It's profitable to talk about His wondrous work. Talk about Him. Just to talk about Him. It's profitable for you as a believer, for myself as a believer. May not be profitable as far as, secular life is concerned. You may be criticized. You may be scandalized. You may be ostracized. You may not gain nothing. You may lose if you express yourself concerning what you believe about the Lord. But I'm going to tell you in the long run, you're a gainer. It says so right here. Verse 16, chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord, those that reverenced God, respected Him, loved Him, worshipped Him, desired Him, honored Him, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, He heard it. And He wrote it down in a book. Every time you stop along the way and you talk one another about the Lord, about His goodness, about His kindness, about His mercy, about His greatness, He writes it down. And we know that's written for our understanding there. God don't have to write nothing down. But it's on record. God takes note of it. And look at this. It says it was written before Him. A book of remembrance. It was written down in a book of remembrance before Him for them. For them. That feared the Lord and thought upon His name. So you profit. You benefit. So David says, do it. Yes, do it. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Then he said this. He said, glory ye in His holy name. Oh, how I love it. How I love to glory in Him. I do. I love to glory in the Lord. To boast in Him alone. I love to preach. And just my preaching be filled with nothing but just glorying in Him. Just boasting in Him. I'm nothing. He's everything. I'm less than nothing. He's all things. I have nothing within myself to glory in. Neither do you. But we have everything to glory in the Lord.
So he says, glory ye in him, or in his holy name. David, in Psalm 34, he said he did this. He says in verse number, one beginning verse number one, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'll praise Him. I'll honor Him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Boy, just think about that. If we put that into practice, wouldn't we be getting along with one another? Now, you wouldn't have time saying nothing critical about nobody, would you? Would you? There'd be no time to say anything ugly and nasty about one another. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How could you say something hateful to somebody when you're praising God and worshiping the Lord and saying all good things about the Lord? See what I mean? God, help us here. Help us right here to cultivate this, to put this into practice. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble, he said, shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he says to everybody around him, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, magnify the Lord with me. Let us boast in our great God, and boast of His great doings. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Just everybody get in on it. Let's do this. And then he says this in the Psalm over here, Psalm 105, coming back in, he says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Now, he's not talking here to unconverted, unregenerate folks. He's talking to God's people. I've told you before, once the Lord puts a seeking in you, seek Him. You find Him, you continue to seek Him. You never stop seeking the Lord. You get up in the morning seeking the Lord. Not that you want to be saved over again, but you just want more of the Lord. More of His grace. More of His love. More of His mercy. More understanding of Him. Enlarging your heart with Him. Seeking the Lord. That's what our Bible studies, our private times of devotion is all about. Our time of praying and reading the Scriptures is seeking more of Him. And so he says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. I'm going to tell you, we had better
seek Him. He's the only one, He's the only thing worth seeking. So,
we better do it. And he added this, and His strength.
And His strength. Why did he say that? Because we don't live of ourselves. We live by the strength of God. By the power of the Lord. You don't live of yourself. You don't draw breath of yourself. It's all of the Lord. All of the Lord. And His strength. Let me ask you something. What are we going to do about all this rain deficit? What are we going to do about that? I told David Ash a while ago. He said, brother, we need some rain. I said, you know that's right, David. I said, ain't not many folks that realize that. They don't. A few of us know. We need water. What are we going to do about all this rain deficit? The Brit was listening. Was you reading that or listening to it? They was talking about it, wasn't it? Talk about our present drought. We're in the worst drought since back in the 1800s. since they've been keeping records. What was it, 167 inches? 157 inches deficit back in that day, and we're up to 130, how many? Huh? 134 inches. We're not far away from breaking an old record that stood for over 100 years. And you know, the thing about folks, the thing about it is this right here. 100 years ago, there wasn't many folks in this area, in this country. There's just a handful of folks in Georgia. I remember when there's just a handful compared to what's out here today. I remember when Atlanta, Georgia was 360,000 people. I remember when you could go from Douglasville to Decatur in about 30 minutes. You could cross Atlanta in 15 minutes. I remember those days. That hadn't been that far back. I'm not ancient. But I'm telling you, it hadn't been that far away. And we're swamped with people. The population is exploded and the consumption of water. Can you imagine how much water now is being consumed compared to back then? If we had above normal rainfall for the next 10 years, it would more than likely just barely bring it back up. The water table I'm talking about. What are we going to do about this? He said, seek the Lord in His strength. Some of these smart fellows, they're going to figure, well, what we'll do is dig a deeper well. Or we'll just make more rivers. Well, rivers are made out of water, aren't they? You got a little river over here, Dog River. Every time I go by that river, I don't know what y'all do it now, but every time I cross it, it never fails. Every time I cross the river over here, I look up the river. And I tell you, it seemed like to me the water's getting lower and lower and lower. I see more and more of those old granite rocks up and down that river. What are we going to do about that? We ain't going to do nothing about it. But we can't do nothing about it. And if God doesn't do something, we're in a jam. You realize that, folks? You realize how quick God could cut this thing off? Dave was also telling me, he said, folks don't realize this, Brother Terry. He said, where does the food come from? Most folks think it Kroger raises it. That all food's up there on those shelves. You know, I get a little bit low, I just run up to Kroger's. You know that store's up there on a 3-day delivery? All these stores are on 3-day deliveries. In other words, if they don't have trucks coming in there every 3 days to restock, to bring that stock in and restock those shelves, in 3 days, it's gone. Did you realize that? Most folks don't. And then most folks don't realize where it's coming from when it gets there. It comes out of the earth. And God grows it. And it's grown because you get water. The seed will not grow, and the seed will not prosper, and the seed will not produce if you don't have water. What I'm saying, folks, is we're shut up to the Lord. David says, seek Him and seek His strength. I mean, He could shut us down in a moment. He could shut this thing down.
I know you believe that. I'm just reminding you of it. But there's a world of folks out here that don't believe it. They think I'm some kind of nut up here talking about these things. I'm just going to read these. I don't have time to deal with verse 5, 6, and 7. Just look at them. He says, remember His marvelous works.
that he hath done. Remember them. Now, boy, he's got a lot of things that we can reflect on. Creation, providence, redemption. That take up all your time right there, just reflecting on what God's done.
Remember his marvelous works which he hath done, his wonders, the judgments of his mouth.
God never has spoke anything that wasn't so. He never has pronounced something that did not come true, that did not work out. He said he's going to do something, he does it. He's God. He's accurate. Infinitely so.
Oh, ye seed of Abraham, ye servant, or his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. His chosen. There's that despised word election. Ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord, our God. He is. He is the Lord. The one I'm talking about, David said, he's the Lord, our God. There's none beside him. And he says his judgments are in all the earth. And they are, folks. Look around you. His judgments fill the earth.
God, despite this old heresy, some of our early fathers, founding fathers, we call them, believed it is deism. Old Thomas Jefferson, he believed, he held that God just wound this thing up like a clock, set it in motion, backed off and let it go. Now he's involved. Minutely, he's involved. Let's just look for him and talk about him and honor him, worship him, praise him, glorify his name. That's the only thing worth living for, the only thing worth doing.
All right, Brother Ed, you come and lead us in a hymn.
Number 19. Take your Gatsby hymnals. Let's stand. This one's got 7 verses. Is that too long?
No.
Oh, okay.
that's a little short tonight.
Number 171. We use the tune of Now to the Lord, a noble song. Number 171.
Join all who love the Savior's name to sing his everlasting fame. Great God, prepare each heart and voice, and him forever to one wondrous things are told. In him what glories I behold. For him I gladly all things leave. To him my soul forever my treasures all contained. By him my feeble soul sustained. From him I all things now receive. Through him my soul shall ever live. With him I daily love to walk, chiming cheerful, graceful song. To Him your highest praise belongs. Is He who does your heaven prepare, and in Him you'll sing forever there.
Hallelujah. I can shout over that. That's a shouting hymn right there.
Yes, sir. That gets me sort of revved up, don't you? That's a great one.
He's everything, isn't he?
And that's what Medley wrote about there. He just wrote what we preached about in that psalm over there. That's why I say I love that hymnal. It glorifies God. There's no other hymnal. I don't think there's one can be compared to it. And I'm grateful in the good providence of the Lord that I got a hold of this thing about 25 years ago. I guess it's been that long now. And I liked it. I got it just as a devotion when I found it. I was reading it long when I'd read my Bible. And I found out from the source up in Michigan, fell up in Michigan, brought these things in from England. And he was the distributor, and I just ordered some for the church. I don't know if you can get any more or not. So we better take care of these, hadn't we? All right. Good to be here tonight. Thank the Lord for His goodness to us, His mercies. I'm happy. Are you? I rejoice in the Lord. All right, Brother Brady, you dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Father, teach us to rely upon you and trust you for all that we need. We thank you, Father, that you provided salvation for us in your Son. We thank you, Father, that you care for us day by day.
Yeah.
Go with us now as we go to our home. Help us to meditate upon your word to give you praise. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.